talk about games. Play my Brian and Mike.
A modern, a retro video game show.
Yes, we talk about games and sometimes other stuff.
Like Star Trek, it's a blast, our gaming podcast.
Hello and welcome to another Talk About Games. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Mike. Today we are talking about Zelda Randomizer. And what do you got?
I played Tunic, and let's talk about Tunic.
I want to talk about Tunic, sure.
All right, so Tunic is a game that lies to you.
Lies to
it
me?
It lies to you.
What does that mean?
All right, so you play Tunic, and you're like, okay, I'm going to play Tunic. And you go to your Steam page, and you open up Steam, and you're like, I don't know why I'm holding a remote. Maybe I use Steam on my TV.
I'm like, on Steam with
so your... I open up the Steam, and I'm flipping
see
through
that
the channel.
Yeah.
Right, so I open up Steam, and I'm like, oh, okay, what do I want to play? Adventure game. Oh, look, he's got a Tunic, like Link.
Yeah.
He's got a green Tunic, yeah. And he's a little fox, and he has a sword. And he has a shield with a cross on it. And you're like, okay, I'm booting up Tunic.
So this game is to appeal to people who are really into foxes, such as like Psycho Fox on Master System and the whole fox crowd.
Or, yes, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a schmut now. So...
You say smut?
Shmup.
Oh, shmup.
Shmup.
It's all about smut, Mike.
It's all about smut.
I'm ready to go. This is
the world's
great.
First triple X adventure game. No.
Okay. Well, there was like Laser Shoot Larry. There was those Atari porn games.
Yeah, there's
that.
A lot. But so Tunic, you look at the Steam page and you're like, oh, it's going to be like Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time it lies to you.
There's another game that came out recently. I'm not going to remember the name of it, but there's like a crow and he's going around and it's just like Zelda. And I played a little bit and I was thinking to do it for the show, but I played it for a little bit and I didn't really like it that much.
All right.
But there's all these Zelda clones.
So you start on a beach.
Okay.
What other game do you start on that you start on a beach? Link's Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
You start on a beach, you walk up a hill, you go in a little room and the room is a square.
I was going to say TNC Surf Designs, but...
You know, there's a band called Descendants of Erdrick, and they do, like, video game remixes.
That's cool.
And one of the songs on their first album was, like, a TNC Surf Design song.
I like the music in that
game. It's awesome.
Actually.
So, it's actually really good. But, so you get the stick, which is, like, the first sword. You know, Link gets the wooden sword.
Oh, I know.
You may be aware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you go, and it's like, oh, you got to go to the woods.
Yeah.
To the Lost Woods.
The Lost Woods.
To the hero's grave, where you're going to get the sword.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to the Lost Woods, and you go to the hero's grave.
But
and
it's
you,
all called different stuff.
And you fight... Not really,
oh,
even.
Really?
Right? So... And you get... You fight the guard captain, and you get the sword. But then you're like, oh, where do I go? I get a... And then you ring this bell. You know the three pendants in Zelda?
Mm-hmm.
So there's like the three...
In Link to the Past.
Link to the Past. Mm-hmm. So the one of the three, the red one lights up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and you go to a house in the middle. And in Link to the Past, there's a house in the middle.
So would you say this is more like a Link to the Past?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. You get the shield. And at this point, you're like, oh, I'm the hero. I'm going around. And then you get the bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going. But things start being weird. Okay.
All right.
When you go up to like where in Link's Awakening the windfish would be,
okay,
there is a fox spirit that is trapped in a glass like crystal
thing. Okay.
And normally, like when you go to places like that, the fairies or like Zelda or whatever, she's like, "Oh, save me!" or "Oh, we're gonna do this." This fox bangs on the glass, like, get me out of here, like, very angry.
Okay, yeah.
And you're like, crap.
Yeah.
Wow, this is serious business. And when you die like Shovel Knight, where you lose money in Shovel Knight,
yeah, right.
And then you can collect your corpse.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Like Dark Souls.
Like Dark Souls. Yeah. A lot of people say this is a Souls-like,
because
you roll and you block.
Are we now in the era of we're going to have Souls-like?
Right.
And like roguelikes. And,
a lot of people say that, but this game isn't any of those things.
Because
this game is a fucking mind-fuck psychological thriller puzzle game.
Interesting.
Because as you're going through, you get these pages, and I printed out here the manual.
Okay.
So you get these manual pages, but you don't get
This is what you have to do in 2020 to get a manual. You got to print it out.
You don't get them in order. So, like, I only got a few of the pages, but, like, let's say I went to...
Does a physical of Tunic exist?
It's happening.
Maybe it'll be, like, limited run.
The game did really well. So this is the fox that was, like, trapped in there.
Okay.
And this is what you get at first. You get, like, this checklist that's, like, go to the East Forest, go to the hero's grave, go to the guard captain. And you start getting these. And you know what's funny? I didn't print out any of them, but if it's a map... Like a page that's a map.
Yeah.
A little fox shows up on the map where you are.
Okay.
Like as you're flipping through the manual.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's kind of cool. But anyway, you can see this manual is not in English.
I like the little cartoon drawings. It's like that's very like Zelda instruction booklet.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It seems kind
of
cool.
So while this is happening, and I feel bad that the pages I printed out of it didn't have like little hints, but... Some of them have like pen marks on them, or like they'll be like directions, or they'll be like it'll be like crossed out.
Right.
Or like they'll just be little things. Like there's one where you go to this dark tomb and all the places where there are spikes are like drawn on the manual instead of like being in the manual.
Okay.
Like somebody drew little spikes.
That's cool.
Where they were and stuff.
Like as if somebody had the manual before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat.
So you're collecting these pages. And as you're collecting these pages, you start finding out that you're not. So like, let's stop right here. This is like spoilers now.
Okay.
Okay. So you're collecting.
So if you've been watching the episode, it's time to turn it off. See you next time.
So I'm going to tell you what's going on.
Okay.
Okay. Because so what's actually happening is you aren't the first fox to get the ring the three bells and fight.
There's a previous adventure.
The big fox. Yes. So it's like a loop where you are not actually the hero. You are the ruined seeker who is trying to become the guy in the glass.
Okay.
And this has been going on forever.
Right. Why would you want to be the guy in the glass if the guy in the glass is like trying to get out?
Because it's like ultimate power.
Hmm.
Because like, for instance, when you level up in this game, you make offerings to it and then it gives you power.
Okay.
But this is actually false power. Because what it turns out is that this world is like very dystopian and it's powered by lost souls.
Oh.
And it's awful. And as you know, like, you ever play Portal?
Yep.
You know, you play Portal and you're like in the enrichment center and it's all white and everything's all like good.
I think we talked on the podcast once about me playing Portal. So I did a stream of it years ago.
Yeah.
And everybody's really angry at me because I play a fucking Portal and I'm doing the things like that you're supposed to do in Portal.
Right.
I'm going through the portals, all this stuff. And then I get to the end of the game and it says a cake's a lie. But I'm like talking to the chat. And when you've seen me stream.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm like talking and I'm like doing my thing. And then like I'm not listening to the fucking story. And then the credits go by. And then people in the chat are like, cake is a lie, cake is a lie. I'm like reading the chat and they're like, cake's a lie. Cake, like, what are you talking about? Cake. Why is everybody talking about a cake? And they're like, what are you a fucking idiot? If this is Portal, the cake is the lie. And then I only found out after the stream. I was like, oh, I wasn't like listening.
Right.
But I did enjoy Portal. It was neat.
Because GLaDOS is actually killing the fucking test subjects.
I know that now, but during my stream, I was talking, so I'm not listening to the audio cues.
Yeah, dude, you know? I played that game. The first time I played Portal, I played it in like a dark room.
Yeah.
And I played it all in one sitting.
That's probably how you're supposed to play it. I have like lights on me and shit.
I'm
speaking. It's not the right environment for that type of game.
I played in like a dark room.
Yeah.
I played it like before streaming even existed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you get to the point where GLaDOS is going to kill you. And you're like, oh fuck. And the music goes like dun 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 dun. Right? This game is like that. Not that they're coming to kill you, but it's like that in that if you just play the game straightforward, ring the three bells, fight the bad guy, win. It actually gives you game over.
So just give me a little bit of, like, what's walking around the map, like, what's going into a dungeon like? Is it just like Zelda, or is it
so, it's like Hyper Light Drifter, but 3D.
Okay.
So it has amazing lighting. So, like, when you have your, like, lantern and you're in the dungeons, like, there's, like, dark dungeons, mm-hmm. and there's, like, dungeons that have neon lights, and there's, like, a lot of... Like, it looks, like, more modern than a Zelda game would look.
I really liked Hyper Light Drifter, but there was one little thing about it that drove me fucking crazy, and that's why I, like, never ended up finishing the game. In Hyper Light Drifter, when you go on the map, there's a map, but the map is, like, you can only, like, zoom so far into the map.
Right.
So, like, you try to, like, go from, like, point A to point B, but the map is, like, not... like really totally complete. It's like not a perfect map, you
right.
know? So it's like you kind of gotta like fill in the gaps with yeah. the map screen, and like that really bothered me. So
what this game comes down to is that if you just play it at face value mm-hmm. and don't read these pages and find the pages, and like there's screens you go to where you have to hold down A and put in button combinations mm. to make doors open that you wouldn't even know if you didn't read the book.
I see.
Right? And it's like very much like a mystery to find something called the Golden Path.
Okay.
So if you find the Golden Path, you'll find all the pages.
Okay.
And at the end, when you meet the bad guy, instead of beating the bad guy, you show them the book, and then they find out that they're in a fucking cycle video game, and it ends the cycle.
Ah.
But to get there, you need to like there's all these places where if you're just walking around the map and you're following it like linearly, you wouldn't know. It's like, oh, if I walk down those bushes and go down these steps, now I'm in the middle of this dungeon 3 that I otherwise wouldn't be able to get to.
Okay.
Like, there's ways to, like, break the sequence, and there's ways to find items that are, like, weird and out of order, and it's like, just layers and layers
of... Are the items, like, different than Zelda? Does this game have its own types of, like, items, or, like...
You get the dash from Hyper Light Drifter. There's a hook shot. There's a dagger that freezes things.
Okay.
And everything is like upsetting. There's a shotgun.
Okay.
There's like literally you can get a magic shotgun.
Magic shotgun, right.
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 The bosses are hard as shit.
Okay.
Like for this playthrough, I beat the forest boss.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the manual, it says that your like levels should be all threes. I beat it when I was like one and two and right. this, and it was hard. It was so hard.
Yeah.
Right. I was surprised that I beat it, but
it's fun to beat things like under leveled because then you feel like yeah, I did it and I was under leveled. You know?
I actually had to like phone a friend on this game.
Oh yeah,
in a few places, like I called somebody that knew the developers, and I'm like, yo, I'm like, what is this? Like right. Last night when I was getting ready for this,
wouldn't you have just like looked it up on YouTube or something?
Yeah, but
happen to know somebody.
It was more fun okay. to like call somebody.
Right.
Right. So I call him and I actually captured the video of him talking to
oh,
me.
Oh yeah.
Right. While I was doing it. I don't know if we'll use it.
You use a lifeline?
Yeah. Because it's like, it stops being that Souls like, that Zelda, that, oh, I'm going to beat the boss, and starts being like, oh, I got to look at these pages. Oh, in the bottom left-hand corner. Oh, what part of the map does that look like? Oh, now I'm going to go there. Oh, now I'm going to pray and put in the button combination. Oh, I got to find these fairies. Oh, I got to get this. Like, you could beat the game and not do any of that.
Okay.
Oh, now I'm in this world, and this is like the soul factory where they're like holding the souls.
So it's like all kinds of like side quests or like...
It's like, remember when I want to talk about a game that we talked about before that people in the chat were a fan of. You know Lakeview Cabin?
Yes.
So you're playing Lakeview Cabin.
Isn't there a second one or another
there's
one coming
like
or something?
Four now.
Oh, there's four.
Yeah, there's okay. a bunch of chapters.
Okay.
So Lakeview Cabin, like, oh, I'm just going to kill Jason.
Right.
But it's like, oh, but you can also do this, and you can also do this. And if you want to get the right ending, you have to do all the things.
Right.
This game is like, oh, you beat this game just playing it like a hack and slash. It just says game over.
So it's like very open-ended. It's kind of like a Breath of the Wild type of thing, which is like, yeah, you can go on the path to kill Ganon, but then there's
right.
all this other shit to do.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a weird story because when you start out the game, you're the villain. You just don't know it. The game doesn't tell you. It's not like, you're the villain. Right. But you start reading these pages and you're like, oh.
You're right.
See, look, like, you can see here, like, a terrible power rises. The world is thrown in the ruin. Like, it...
What I keep thinking is funny about this is, like, this looks like the beginning of Wind Waker.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, the exact same thing.
Right. So, like, these are the three, like, this sheet, it says...
Those are the...
The three things and stuff, right? And, like, this drawing is, like, right out of, like, the Link to the Past manual.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff is so, interesting. So there is floating around a line. See this?
Mm-hmm.
This language is actually phonetic. And there is a full English language version of this manual floating around online.
So I guess I didn't think about it because, you know, we're like Star Trek fans. So we know that Klingon's a language. I guess at this point, Hylian's a language, huh?
Yeah, I guess
like,
so.
Does somebody out there speak Hylian? If you speak Hylian, we'd like to talk to you. Leave a comment in Hylian in the chat.
Oh, that'd be crazy. Yeah.
But you know what you have to do? Leave the they won't. The text isn't there. They can't.
They could put a link.
You put a link.
I'll approve it if it's not a virus.
They could put a link.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Sorry.
So, I mean, you're going through dark tombs. You're stabbing people. But you're... I played this game a little too late at night, and it's like, you die a lot. You die a lot.
So you keep getting set back.
Because I didn't know you could upgrade. So I was like dying constantly.
I see.
And I had to like go through dungeons and not get hit.
So was it like later, you're like, fuck, I did not get upgrade.
After I phoned a friend, he's like, oh, you can upgrade. And I had like 14 of the little things.
Yeah.
And I'm like getting all these like upgrades. But... I'm going through this dungeon. I'm this like fox and I have a lantern and it's pitch black and I'm going through and I'm like, man, this is the most brutal nihilist game I've ever played. Like fuck this game. Yeah. Right. And I finally stopped and like,
but that was actually your fault.
It was my fault.
Right.
Right. But I came to appreciate it after that.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. It's funny that people look, I love this page. This is like the first page of it that you get at the end. And look, it has the staples and the crease is like in the...
Yeah, like the actual instruction manual.
The
That's
actual
neat.
Crease in it. Like this is obviously like Zelda.
Sure.
Right? So...
So what do you... There's got to be something. What do you not like about it?
The combat sucks.
Okay.
The main thing... So much time was spent on the game, like the mind game... Mm. That not a lot was spent on the combat.
Oh, that's
it's not like you don't even have like the spin slash that Link has.
Yeah.
The bosses can be cheesed with different items. Like the potions, if you don't upgrade the potions, it's like.
Well, I thought you said it was like Hyper Light Drifter. So, and that game has, I think, pretty awesome combat.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's not even close to that.
Okay.
Right.
That's too bad.
Like Hyper Light Drifter, you can like deflect the shots and you have the gun and you have the. Like it's. It's way less than that.
Ah, that's too bad.
This game is like a mediocre Zelda with this crazy... Like, this booklet that I'm showing you is the game.
Right.
Reading this, it's like being a detective. My friend likened it to being in an escape room. And I kind of had that same feeling. By the way, people... of talk about games. If you have never done an escape room, here's what I want you to do. Look online, find the nearest escape room, and book some time.
I've done an escape room. I did one in Universal, and I enjoyed it. It was fun. I guess you had a good time in your escape room?
I've done four so far.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. One I did was, like, 80s themed.
Okay.
You're, like, in an 80s, like, girl's room, and you're trying to find out, like, things. And there's, like...
Yeah.
Oh, there's, like, an Atari in the corner and stuff. One I did was you ran into a house that was in like a New Mexico nuclear test and the sirens go off and you have to escape before the bomb goes off.
Okay.
One I did was a candy shop where you're trying
like
to
Willy Wonka
inherit the candy shop.
Okay.
And you have to like figure out the recipe. And that one was crazy because it had like multiple rooms and I wasn't expecting it. Like I opened the cabinet and there's a whole other room.
Okay, that's cool.
That was pretty crazy. And then I did one that was like knights, like knights and kings and stuff.
Right.
But the I think the one I liked best was like the 80s one.
That's cool.
Because like you literally like the song, like a loop of songs played. And like one of them was like 8675309. And finally, I'm like, oh, I should call that on the phone.
8675309.
And I type it in the phone. That's like the phone you would call to get a hint.
Yeah.
And like it comes worked. Up and it worked.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The one I did, I remember in Universal, was kind of like an Indiana Jones sort of thing. And I remember the first room I remember being really cool because you had to go through and find keys and stuff and then put it in a wall and then collect gems and all that stuff. And that was all really well and good and fun. But then we went into this other room and it was like virtual reality. And they make everybody put on these virtual reality headsets, but the virtual reality was like not good at all. And like, I'm standing there, I'm like, all right, I just like wait for this part of it to be over.
That is so different. You should do like a normal, like mom and pop escape room.
Okay.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah. Mine was like a high budget one, you know, cause it was like Universal. So it was
And I'm sure it was like, a lot of them have like directional locks and like word locks and it's all like padlocks and stuff. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
I definitely think you should try like a regular one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
so
I'll try that.
Tunic is an escape room in video game form with some slashy combat attached.
That's too bad. The combat's not better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think that,
but maybe it's not about that.
It's not. I think that this game, remember we lived in a world where people would like make shit up about video games. Like there's like water cooler or like bus conversation.
The one I remember when I was a kid was there was that one kid who would always say, I jumped the flagpole in Mario.
Right.
But he meant on the first stage.
Yeah.
And then when I got older, I was like, I wonder if there is actually a way to jump the fucking flagpole.
Yeah.
And then I jumped the flagpole. And I think I might have been one of the first people on the internet that actually jumped the flagpole, but on the first stage. So I made a video on that.
Yeah.
And then, well, whatever. I was going to not tell the rest of the story. Somebody copied me directly after on a website that's now defunct.
Yeah.
And I was like, I fucking made that video like 3 weeks ago. Like all of a sudden. Yeah. Like, and it's like the exact same thing.
Oh, it's awful.
But shit happens. What are you going to do? But yeah, I jumped that fucking flagpole, man. That's that good. Shit's crazy. The fucking turtle goes along. So what I had to do, so I didn't have the technology that I have now, but like if I play it on a PVM or whatever, that kind of stuff, you can like zoom it out. Yeah, you know in Mario Brothers, you have to see the blocks on the bottom, but there's like on an old TV, like you'd use like a vertical hold or a horizontal hold to see more of the bottom. So I turned the vertical hold so I could see more of the bricks on the bottom.
Yeah.
Cause you gotta be able to see the top of the turtle's head going. So at that point, that's what I did. I was using vertical hold like on the TV, but now I would just put it in like OBS or something.
Yeah.
I'd be able to see the whole thing. It wouldn't be a problem. But that was like my problem that I had to get over to be able to see the turtle. So I see the turtle's head and then he like walks to a certain, go watch the fucking video. But the turtle like walk, they're going to yell at me for that. The Koopa walks along and then at a certain point you got to like jump, you got to fall down a pit and then jump on the Koopa's head or some shit. I forget exactly how you do it. And then that makes you be able to jump the flagpole. I sat and did that for like 3-4 hours over and over and over and over until I finally like was able to do it. And here I am all these years later. So I guess it was worth it because it was, it's the first, you know what? It's the first stage in Super Mario Brothers. That was worth doing.
No, I think that's cool.
That's a trick.
But like when we were kids, like people would be like, yo, if you type in this button combination, Guy will like pull out a gun and shoot Chun-Li or something like
the nudalities and that don't exist
like
right?
That kind of thing.
I asked my chat because I guess I'm stupid, well because obviously it couldn't exist, but I was like, does that fucking, because everybody was like, oh, the nudalities. I was like, okay, let's see the nudalities. It'd be like, oh, I'm putting the code, yeah, and it's like, oh, I can't get it to work. Nobody could ever get it to work because it doesn't fucking exist.
No,
there's no nudality. I'm sure somebody made like a fake, like by at this point, nudality.
There's probably like a ROM hack where they're all nude,
they're
all
completely
the time.
Fucking nude.
They're just fucking each other. No.
It's
awful.
The Nintendo labia, remember that? Let's bring in all the Nintendo labias and lay them out. Let's talk about them now. Because remember Labo.
The Labo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm sitting here like, what the fuck is Mike talking about?
Man, you don't know the labia.
The Labo.
Yeah.
The cardboard shit.
So everybody was like, I was like, I was shitting all over that thing when it came out, and everybody's like, yeah, but my kids like it or whatever, and like, it's gonna be worth something or whatever. Here we are now, though. Nobody's talking about that shit now. Right. Nobody's talking about it now.
Right.
I want to bring all that shit in here and let's talk about that. It's a bunch of cardboard, right?
Yeah.
It's a bunch of fucking cardboard.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of bullshit. Yeah. Dude, okay. There is an executive that works at Nintendo that's in a mansion right now with his fucking feet up and something's going on. And and he's like, these motherfucking idiots.
We sold them cardboard.
And then they high-five each other. And then they're laughing at the people that bought it.
They were kind of cool, but it was definitely a gimmick. Nintendo always has a few gimmicks.
Well, in our day, it was like the power pad and the power glove. Yeah. And all that shit. It was just another gimmick.
They're always trying to find something. Oh, here's your tennis racket attachment.
It's always a gimmick.
Dude, have you ever seen the Wii bowling ball?
I own it.
You own the bowling ball?
I have the bowling ball, yeah.
Yeah, you put the Wiimote in the bowling ball.
Yeah.
It's bad.
That's what you do. Well, you know what, though? I will say, I wasn't a big Wii guy, but the Wii Sports was pretty good. Like, the bowling was that actually worked pretty well. Because there were so many of those games that didn't work
But I never played, like, the boxing. It was really dumb.
There's a game that's a Harry Potter ripoff game. It's called Billy Wizard. And it is the worst.
Billy Wizard.
It's the worst control. You're going through rings, like Superman 64, and you got to, like, do, like, this shit.
Yeah.
And you got to get – he's on the broomstick, and you got to get him to go through. And the controls are fucking horrendous.
You know what my favorite game that controls like that is? Excite Truck.
That game's good.
I like Excite Truck.
There were good Wii games.
There were. And I like Link's Crossbow Training.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about shooters. A game I haven't played on that I really want to is I haven't played the Wii Punch-Out.
I don't.
It's not good.
I put it on, and it you know what? It is very much like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, but it's like not as cool, and the animations are kind of like lame, and the music's kind of like
that sucks. It's
just not. It's like a lame version. It's not like the worst. It's not the worst thing I've ever played. It's like okay, but it's like you'd rather just play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. You know.
So anyway, Tunic, like I said, is the game where if all the conversations that you were having at the bus stop and the water cooler actually were real and in the game, because there's so many weird secrets and messed up things that happen.
That's cool.
And it's kind of cool. So if you're into that, check it out. If you only want to play the combat and the Souls-like stuff, and like, there's better games to play,
right.
Like Hyper Light Drifter.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's your review. Play Hyper Light Drifter.
No, if you're only doing it for the combat, play Hyper Light Drifter.
Okay, but you might like some of that other stuff.
But you might like the puzzle stuff. If you don't like the puzzle stuff, don't play it because you'll just get game over.
So if you like puzzle stuff, you might like trying my game. Speaking of Zelda, my game this week is Zelda Randomizer.
You don't say.
But the one I played is a newer, I think a newer one. It's called Zelda Randomizer Reloaded.
Reloaded.
So a couple years ago, it's been several years that I've been playing randomizer stuff. And the randomizers that I used to play would randomize like dungeons and certain things, but they've improved it over the years.
Okay.
So the new one, the Reloaded version of the Zelda randomizer, it also randomizes the overworld map now.
Okay.
Which the old ones didn't do that.
Like the tiles or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So a Zelda map, we're talking about NES first Zelda.
The Legend of Zelda.
The original game. It's 8x16, the map. So all those squares are all mixed up. But not only that, it's not just that the squares are mixed up. It's like every screen is like completely different. The bushes are in different places. And
really?
Everything's different. Yeah.
Wow.
Combined with that is you can go through when... So what you do, it's a computer program, and you download it to your PC, and what you're doing is you're making a seed. And you can go through a bunch of different options to make the type of game that you want to make. For example, you can change your character sprite.
Okay.
So let's say, okay, you're not going to be Link. You're going to be play as something else to make it different, right? So you could be things like, you can be Mother Brain. You could be just the Justin Bailey version of Samus.
So how do you do that? Because Link is only one 8x8 tile, but...
I don't know.
Are they still only one tile, or are they 8x16?
They made it fit. I don't know.
It fits in the one tile.
It fits. I played it. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how they do.
But you're not that. Taller.
No. Okay. It all fits. Another one is like Cecil from Final Fantasy IV. And it's just like a lot of the stuff is like from RPGs, because I guess if it's like overhead, they work.
So you could be like Erdrick from Dragon Warrior.
You're not going to be like Simon Belmont. Like, that doesn't really work.
Because he would be two.
Because he would be like, you know, because that's like a side-scrolling game. Yeah. Zelda's like top-down. So anyway, you can be all these different things. You can be the old man, and you can be... There's a whole list of things that you can be. You can play as Ganon. So there's all these different things. But that's just basically a sprite swap. So big deal, right?
Right.
But that's just your original come-on gimmick. Like, you can be different things. But the thing that's cool, though, is the fact... Oh, and by the way, speaking of the graphics, you can also change the graphics on all the enemies and all of the items and all of the bosses. Everything has all different graphics. Like, you can go through the world of Hyrule now, but it's all looks like Metroid.
Okay.
Or you can change it and it can all look like Lolo or something.
Wow.
Or all these different games that they programmed different style of graphics into Zelda.
Yeah.
But what's even cooler than that, because this is a randomizer, is now they have it to where you can pick a bunch of different things. So you go into Dungeon 1 and it looks like Metroid. You go into Dungeon 2 and it looks like Mega Man or something like that. You know? So
here's a question.
Yeah.
When it generates it, can it generate a ROM that you can then play on a regular console?
That's the way I do it. So yes, I believe you can play it like on your actual computer, but yeah, you generate the seed, you take the ROM, and you take the SD card, which would be in your EverDrive, you put it into your computer, and then you then put the file on there, and yes, I've been playing it all on the NES, all on my CRT. So no, I'm not sitting there playing it on my PC. I'm playing it on the
Trinitron. That's great. I like that.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So... I'm not even smart enough to explain the whole thing, but it's an amazing program. The idea that this thing can take The Legend of Zelda and make it work, and it takes time to generate the seeds. Like, when you first, you select all your different options.
Right.
And then when you go to like generate it, it's not like it's just done. It like takes a while, 'cause it's got to figure the whole game out to make sure that it like works.
So that the paths don't go to like a wall.
So you don't get to like level 3 and it's like the game's broken.
Yeah.
You know, it has to like figure it out. It's really interesting, and it's actually really brilliant that somebody would figure out how to do that. But a lot of people are like, what, like, don't understand it. So when I start these streams, like, I've noticed a lot of people like, what is this? Is this Zelda? What, like, this doesn't look like Zelda. The whole idea of it is, it's basically, I'm bored with the original Legend of Zelda.
Right.
But only because I played it so many times. And when people ask me, they say, Mike, what's your favorite video game? I go, oh, The Legend of Zelda. But it's not really.
Right.
Not anymore, it's not. Because I played it so many times. I know the game. It's boring to me now if I play the original game, unfortunately. But what is so cool about this is now I can go back to the original Zelda, and this reminds me of why I liked Zelda. I was like, oh, there's a reason why I always say that's my favorite game. And when I play Zelda Randomizer, it brings all that back. I'm like, 'cause I don't know where to go. I don't, you know.
So is it, when you're playing the game, does it generate good things? Like, is it like good, or are you like, oh, that's really dumb, like where the sword is? And
so there's a bunch of randomizers. There's like there's a Castlevania 3 randomizer, yeah, and there's a DuckTales randomizer or whatever. And I tried the DuckTales one, and the DuckTales one is like, you play it and like you go to the Amazon level and there's like gorillas walking around. It's like sometimes there might be like a bullet or a bee going through the air. Instead of it being a bee, it's now the gorilla is now the bee and stuff. And it's like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of randomizers out there that aren't very good. I've played, it's been years, so maybe they've made it better since. But the old version of like the Link to the Past randomizer,
yeah,
I didn't really like it very much. And I've played a Zelda 2 randomizer where I thought it was, like you're saying, I thought it was kind of stupid.
Right.
Like the way they made, I remember Death Mountain and stuff, like the way it was put together, I was like, this works better as a hack when a real human being like made it work so that it works nice. But this has gotten to the point where yes, it's actually is good. Like it can randomize good maps and stuff. And there's some there's a lot of really interesting things that you can do. Like one option, just to give you an idea of what this randomizer can do. In the original Zelda, the one that we'd have on the cartridge back in the day, you go into the dungeon and there was little enemies that looked like pancakes and they were called like-likes.
Right.
If you got caught inside a like-like, because Link could get caught inside of it, it would steal, if you had the big shield, it would steal the shield.
Yeah.
Which I thought in your game, it was interesting that they had the cross on it.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo got rid of the cross after Zelda 2. Because in Zelda 2, one of the items is a cross.
Yeah.
And after that, once it got to Super Nintendo, they were like, maybe we should get rid of it. Like,
right.
You know, and then you had the Hylian crest after that, which I guess
that worked out for them. Because now it's on like people's bumper stickers.
And everybody's
people
got
have it like tattooed
the
on their.
All that. But with the randomizer, you could make that like steal anything.
Yeah.
So you can like the I set it to where the like could steal the blue ring.
Yeah.
So because I like my Zeldas to be hard because I've done a lot of challenges with it where I try to beat the game, well, make it to Ganon with no sword and stuff like that. So there's basically all these different check marks you can check and make the game whatever you want it to be. And you start playing the game, you get the sword, and then you're like, well, I don't know where level one is.
Yeah.
And so you go around, and then you find a door, and you go in the door, and the guy's like, pay me. And you're like, oh, shit, okay, so pay me. And then you keep going, you burn some bushes and things, and eventually you find a level, but it might not be level one. It might be level... You actually don't know because they also randomize the names. So you might be in level one. They don't use the real... like names, like it'll be like level M or level Q or something like that. You don't even know what fucking level you're in. So it's like, oh shit, am I in level 6? And the only way you can tell is by going around the dungeon and you're like, oh shit, there's really hard enemies in here. This is probably a later dungeon.
Right.
You know, and you try to find
them. So do you like dungeons. Make maps?
So yeah, so I do. Not everybody likes to do that. And I can understand that, but like, I have fun doing that, and it's. I think most people would probably want to use a program for that, and I've seen people on Twitch play randomizers and stuff, and there are programs where you can just have it on your PC, and that's probably the more practical way to do it. But I have fun actually drawing out the map and like drawing it all, and then I have something like afterwards. I was actually thinking about this, and you can tell me if you think this is a stupid fucking idea, but. What I was thinking is to take – so I play the whole Zelda randomizer and then I have my little crappy map. But then I set my map over here and then I'm going to go to the fucking store. I've been thinking about doing this and get an actual canvas.
Yo.
And do a stream where I paint.
You like, absolutely should
like
do
oil
that.
Paints or acrylic paints and I paint the Zelda randomizer map and then scan the fucking things, you know?
That'd be
That's
awesome.
What I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Maybe. So what else? I have some notes here written down. Hey, I take notes too, guys. So
Mike takes notes, guys.
I do. So in the randomizer that I played, I got to the end and you get to Ganon. And when you get into Ganon's room, you're like, well, what's Ganon going to be? Ganon was just like a little, he was a frog.
Okay.
Or no, I'm sorry. I think it was Zelda that was a frog.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go through the, because you don't know what it's going to be. And so next time I play it, like Zelda might be, it could be like literally like fucking anything. Zelda could be like a mushroom or something. Like it could be anything. So it's kind of interesting.
So does it have an ending? Like, does it do the normal ending when you beat it? Or
yeah, it's like I guess it's the normal ending. I actually don't remember. So you get Zelda and then they like replace the sprites and stuff like that. It does have a quality of life upgrade to it, which I'm fine with. Like, if I was playing the original Zelda game and I'm going to be like, I'm going to play it as pure, like as a purist, then that's one thing. But because I'm playing a randomizer anyway, I don't mind quality of life upgrades. So a couple of the ones that they do that are pretty cool is everybody hates this in the original Zelda. You get the blue candle.
Yeah.
And when you go to burn a bush, you can only send out one thing of fire. And then that's all you can do. And when you get to the next screen, then you can use it again.
So you have to go back and forth.
You have to go back and forth, and it's annoying. So what they did in this is they made it like how arrows work, to where if you burn a bush, it costs 1 rupee to burn another bush. So that's a quality of life improvement that I think is pretty good. And the other thing that they did is, I always thought, since I was a kid, the book. Remember the book?
Yeah.
You get the book. I always thought the book was kind of stupid, because what the book did in the old days is you get the wand, and then if you also had the book, you'd use the wand, and then a flame would shoot out, and then the flame would stop in the dungeon or on an enemy or something. But if you do a bunch of that, basically the flames will get in your way. Like, you're trying to get out of a door, or you're trying to move around, and the flame is there, and Link hits the flame. It's more of a burden than it really helps. So that's what the original game's like. So what they do in this is they improved it to where now, if you use the wand, instead of it being a flame, it's the ability of the bomb. So you can go like this. Blow things up. And it's like way better.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
The original game should be that way. That's like a definite like improvement.
Yeah.
Like, it's like way better. But
the wand is like a crazy weapon in the original Zelda.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're doing, I mean, most people don't do what I do, but like, if you ever do like a swordless run of the game, you can't beat the game. You can only make it to Ganon, because you need the sword to kill Ganon. But so the goal when you do a swordless run is to make it into that room.
Yeah.
But the wand is really important, because in level 9, in the original game, there are Patras. And Patra was the enemy where it's a little eyeball with the circle of guys like around it.
Yeah.
You can only, if you don't have a sword, the only way you can get by the Patra is to use the wand. But not, you know, Link does the thing with the wand, and then the beam comes out of the wand. Not the beam, but the wand itself.
Right, you use it like a sword.
You use it like a sword, and then you can actually kill a Patra. And you have to know that, because I remember the first time, many years ago, when I tried, I got stuck there, and I got stumped, and I was like, I can't do this. And then I had to like look it up online, I think. I was like, is this even possible? And then I read like, or saw somewhere, I was like, oh, they do it with a, that you got to use it like a sword. So there's all that stuff. I don't know. It's a cool thing for me, at least. And I think, you know, there's so many Zelda fans out there. It's not just for me. I think this would be a really fun thing for a lot of people to play. Years ago, I don't think it was quite there, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. But now it's gotten to the point where Zelda Randomizer is now what you always kind of wanted it to be. And on top of that, what I get worried about with, because this is like a fan project, what I get worried about is that these guys make this stuff. Like, I saw somebody do like a Zombies Ate My Neighbor's Doom clone, or like a Doom Zelda clone, and then they do like one level and then they don't finish the game and stuff like that. This guy, I know for a fact, is actively working on this, and he actually came into my chat and watched the whole stream, and then like commented on the video and stuff.
Yeah.
So I want to say to that guy, if you happen to see this, like, awesome work, and I really hope you continue with it, because I mean, it's already pretty much there. It's already pretty much there, but there's little things that could be better.
I feel like this is something where it would be amazing if Nintendo or somewhere like that, like, they hired the guy to make it into a full,
like a real, like on the Switch or something.
On the Switch. Right. Like, I think that would be amazing. And I know Nintendo doesn't have the best relationship with hacks and things like that, but I'm glad that this can keep going because it's really cool.
The one thing that this doesn't have, I've already talked, the guy watched the stream, and I've already talked about little ideas here and there that I had. But the big thing that could be done, now this would change it from being like authentic to what the original Zelda is. But remember, it's a randomizer, so it would only be an option. Like, you could, if you don't want it, you don't have to check it.
Yeah.
But I think what would be really neat, and I don't know how they do it, is to bring in other like items. And also to bring, like, new items.
Yes.
And to also make the enemies have different sort of, like, AI, to where they would do different things. For example, like you say, Goma. Goma's a spider that goes, like, left and right, and you shoot it in the eye. Well, maybe there's a new sprite, and it's a new type of enemy that does something else. Like, new enemy types. And then you might say, like, I mean, the obvious one is like to have the hook shot in the original Zelda.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that'd be a cool one to have. you could, they're in one of the handheld ones, I forget which one, had a rocks cape where Link could like jump over things.
Yes.
Maybe you could have something like that. Or also create new, like, interesting thing for like the designer to actually create his own new like enemy types and weapon types and stuff like that. That's what I'd really like to see, because one of the best things about Zelda is all of the different types of weapons you can get, because that's the fun thing. You go into the dungeon, you do all this stuff, and then it's like, oh, I got the bow, and he holds up the bow, and then you can use the bow. But what if there was more things that you could play with?
Yeah, yeah.
Little tools and devices. So
that'd be amazing.
That's the next step with the Zelda randomizer that it's not at yet.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see that over the last like several years, they've improved what Zelda randomizer was in 2018. And now we're in 2022. I hope by 2026, 2027, we're at that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love the Zelda randomizer stuff, and it's given my one of my favorite games new life.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds really great. I definitely need to check it out, because Zelda is one of my favorite games too.
Yeah.
And I'd love to be able to play like these crazy.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. I guess that's it for this week for Talk About Games, guys. Thank you so much for watching. So listen, we also have a Patreon. If you want more of this content, if you like this, go check out the Patreon. We have all kinds of other content on there. At this point, if you have not subscribed to the Patreon yet, at this point, there's a lot of content there for you to see. So
every time we shoot episodes, we shoot another companion Patreon episode. And you also get all the cool thumbnails as like high-res wallpapers and things like that. So it's pretty cool to check out. Also, make sure to give us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever you can find audio podcasts. We really appreciate it.
We will see you next week, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we're out of here. See you next week.
See you next week.